Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there. This is Isn't Just Me, the podcast where we dissect all the most trivial pressing issues of the day because, quite frankly, concentrating on all the pointless stuff in our lives stops us thinking about all the really scary stuff. I'm Jo Elvin, and every week, James Williams and I drag a celebrity guest into our pod cupboard and make them talk to us about, well, all sorts of rubbish, don't we, James?
Absolutely. That's
what yeah. And this week, TV presenter Kirsty Gallagher said yes, silly old sausage that she is. I love Kirsty, and the chat we had today is very much like the chats we've had on some of our wine-filled nights together. It kind of goes everywhere. It gets deep. It gets dark. There's laughs. There's tears. But it's, you know, I think it's got a bit of something for everybody, don't you think, James?
Absolutely. No, it's a good episode, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
Yeah, let's get into it. How the hell are you, Kirsty?
I'm good, thank you. I'm very good, Jo. I'm good. Yeah, I'm tired. It's been a busy. Yeah. I'm always tired, but anyway. I'm good. It's been busy with the podcast that my podcast that I've launched.
Yes, yes, yes. And tell us all about that.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, the third episode was launched today, and it was, well, it's been something that, as you know, as a friend of mine, we talked about it, didn't we? God, nearly a year ago. Can you believe it?
Oh, darn. Yeah.
Where I was telling you about what I was doing. And basically, I decided to leave Sky Sports a couple of years ago after being there for so long. I just needed something fresh, and I needed to do something different. And I'd been there, a long time. And I like changing things up all the time. And I just felt like, you know, I'm a journalist and I've got a hunger for more, to do more with that sort of knowledge. And I want to learn more about the people I've been talking about for years and years. So really, it was the fact that I love the journey and the sort of, yes, the background of these sportsmen and women that I talk about all the time. So it was that kind of, I talk about them scoring a goal or a try or winning that tournament or whatever, but what's really behind the character? What is it about that person? What gives them the drive? What adversity have they had? And the grit? And it really was, it came from a sort of place of, I'm really interested in not just sport, but the person and what this is about. So when I left Sky Sports, I developed with Global, who are brilliantly producing the podcast, Strip Back Sport. And it really is a journey. So basically speaking to sportsmen and women who are at the top of the game, most of them are still performing, in their sport. Dame Kelly Holmes, obviously, is retired and is now a very successful speaker, isn't she? She's a brilliant mentor speaker. And I spoke to her, which was fascinating because of her journey. And it really, that's it. I just wanted to kind of go back, do that. And we're here recording. The episode's going out, and it's been really I think, you know, it's success so far. So all good.
Very That's amazing. Exciting. Love it. Do you find that sports people, sports men and women are of a type? Do you know what I mean? Is there like a really common mindset with those yeah. people?
Yes, there is. And it's interesting you say that. I think because obviously I was married to a rugby player. My dad's a professional golfer. My cousin's a professional golfer. I've got two sons who are very sporty. I love sport. There is a mindset. And actually, the first thing I ask all of them, every one of my interviewees, is because I wanted to start at the point of what is sport? Not what's your sport, but what's sport to you?
And yeah.
almost all of them have gone, sport is everything, was everything. So when you were growing up, what was sport? Everything. And it's really interesting that mostly they were all under an umbrella of sport where they could have picked really any sport, most of them, which I find fascinating. So, for example, well, Lee Westwood, the golfer, James Anderson, the cricketer, they were very much football, golf, cricket, could have been any, and then suddenly they're homed in. And it's really interesting. It's really fascinating, the dedication, though. And it's all about, as well, that support. It's about family or it's about one person in their family, the support and the drive and the kind of the nurturing and the growth of that.
I've got to say, when I was a kid, I just hated those people. Because there was always the people, and one of my brothers was the same. You're exactly right. It's like those people who could pick up a bat of any shape, a ball of any shape, and they could just do it. And I was always the person who people used to literally fight not to have me on their team. Well, you had a last time. It's like I was just, and especially for an Australian, that's a really hard, a hard life to not be good at sport.
So you weren't into it at all?
No, because I think there's something about it that if you, I don't know. It's like when I was at school, I think that the sports teachers were only interested in the people who were already good at it.
Really?
And so immediately then your confidence was just on the nib. Do you know what I mean? What about you, James?
Yeah, I think you hit that on the head there with confidence. So I think it's a bit like, people say the same thing about like cooking, don't they? Like, I think it's about, if you've had a bad experience, I don't believe that we can't all learn something, but I think the problem is if you have your confidence knocked at a very early stage or trying something new, it can completely change the way you approach and view that thing and just set you off on a course that just thinks, and because I think that's what happens to so many people I know who think they can't cook or people who think they can't do sport. Because the thing is, Joe, I think you're a bit like me. We came in, I think fitness we're into, like, you know, you love your Peloton bike, I love going to my party. So, you know, we like being active. But in the same way, traditionally speaking, I think I was a bit like you. I felt like a fish out of water because, you know, being born in South Wales, and I just didn't get rugby. I didn't understand it. And, you know, that is literally like a social pariah in South Wales to be a teenage boy and not be very good or into rugby. It was like a nightmare. But, you know, weirdly now, I really enjoy rugby and I support, you know, I like watching it. But, yeah, at the time, I didn't feel it was for me. So it is weird.
Were you good at sport, Kirsty?
There is a question of, sorry.
Were you good at sport?
Yes, of course she's good.
I was. Well, yeah. I mean, I was very sporty, yes. And I think this is the interesting thing with these lovely men and women that I'm interviewing is there is this feeling of, well, what I was going to say to you was competitive. I'm competitive. So I think, and so are they. They're all competitive people. So I think it's, God, I don't want to say this really, but I think of course, there is the umbrella of sport. And I think that a lot of people are quite, you know, can have like a wide scope of being good with, as you said, Joe, like, I mean, a lot like your brother, I was good at sports, right? I was good at netball. I was a runner. I was lacrosse. I was tennis.
I'm glad you and I met after high school because I would have been so intimidated.
but I think there are the exceptions there. where there is someone that will home in and be good at one sport. Because I was going to say that being competitive is the drive. Do you know what I mean? But you are competitive, Joe.
Of course, absolutely.
Yeah. But that drives me to be good at sport. So I get a bit of the. In fact, my trainer Mel Dean is hilarious because he often. So I get to his sessions, and obviously it's one to one. And he's amazing. He's this wonderful trainer, brilliant, Irish, funny, humorous, hardcore, whatever, brilliant. And he says, know your client, because if he wants to push me, he will introduce, so he'll say, so the other day there was a girl there, lovely girl, young girl, 20-year-old. She shared my sort of session, which I'm fine with. She's a skier, like a proper ski, you know, skier, yeah. Professional skier. And he introduced her because he wanted to push me. And he knows that when I'm training with someone, I go up about 5 gears. And
I love that. And especially someone in their 20s, you're like, oh, you think you can take me, bitch? Yep. Oh, yeah.
We had a session not long ago with a group of women. And I was a bit flat, and I was a bit whatever. Actually, it was before lockdown, it's a while ago. And I was just feeling a bit like tired and a bit kind of like, but I was training hard, and he knows me so well, and I train twice, three times a week. And there were a few women there, and then one of them, we were sprinting, and I was sort of plodding along and everything, and yeah. And then he introduced sprints, and I saw the red mist. I went, and I was like, like this, and I was like, no, you're not going to win. You're not going to beat me. And it's not a horrible competitiveness. It's just I just inside me, it's like, I've got to do my best here, you know?
So you're like Monica from Friends.
Yeah.
I am a bit like her anyway. Yeah.
I'm exactly the same. In my thing, we wear these lion heart monitors where you can see your heart rate on the screen.
Yes.
And it's unbelievable how you suddenly think, you think you're working hard, you look at the screen, you're like, oh my God, I'm like second from last. And it just makes you...
like,
that's the way the leaderboard's supposed to work on the Peloton. But what really amuses me is, because it says my name and it says I'm female and I'm 50. And I can see, and I can always tell when suddenly there's a guy, like someone, a male, or at 30s or 40s. Yeah, and they're like, I cannot let some old bag who's 50 years old beat me. And so you just see it happening. And I don't care. I'm just there to do the best I can do. I couldn't care less who's in front of me or who's behind me.
Yeah. That is so funny.
Because I was going to say, I'm trying to think of a good way to say this diplomatically. I think what you do with this podcast actually is very hard, because I would say traditionally, as somebody who's obviously interviewed lots of people over the years, I would say sporting people are not the easiest people to interview, because I think
all they do is their sport.
Performance, but no. I think they don't really perform for a camera. They don't turn on a persona. You know, actors, singers, they have to perform. They've got to put on a show. And I think there's an element of having to do that in an interview situation.
James, that's exactly why I'm doing it. It's to know the person. What is it? What is their makeup? What has driven them? What is it about them? We know what they, like I said to you, we know they can score a goal or a try or, take wickets for England. But what is it about them that's made them what they are? And you are spot on. And I was really thrilled last week with Jimmy Anderson, the cricketer, who was obviously...
I'm glad you said that, sorry.
You what? You fancy him?
I'm so glad you... No, I'm just so glad you said the cricketer, because I would have just been like, sorry, Jimmy. Yeah. Sorry, Jimmy, I told you I'm not a proper Australian. Yeah.
Well, I mean, in Australia, they're scared of him, believe me. I mean, they really are. But he is a closed book in general, and... a bit, you know, you see these guys and girls, and they are, like you say, James, they're performing and they're doing what we ask of them. And then they're interviewed and, well done, that was a great goal. What was your drive? Oh, well, you know, blah, blah. Or what was your kind of like, why did you play so well today, golfer-wise? Or, oh, it just worked. Yeah, brilliant.
Okay. Yeah.
They're quite one-dimensional, not in a bad way, but that is all they're asked to do.
But you've got to crack the shell. Yeah.
So, yes, And part of what I do is to get really into and more in depth with these characters. And actually, it was fascinating. So rugby wise, James, do you know Maro Itoje? He's an England player, Saracen.
Just nod, James.
But he is one of our. He's been, you know, he'll probably be the Lions captain next year. He is like one of our best England players, Saracens. Brilliant, 25, 26 now. And he's got a politics degree. He went to Harrow School. The brightest spark. You kind of, and I'm not saying you wouldn't know that, but a lot of people wouldn't know that, sorry, but they, you know, and when we talked, it was very in depth, it was fascinating, it was brilliant. He gave, you know, do you know what I mean? And it was, he explained his drive and the fact that it was really fascinating. He's a British Nigerian and his family wanted him to be, and he is academic, but they wanted him to be more focused on sort of academia, not on sports. And it's these things that are fascinating. And like Jimmy Anderson, as I was saying earlier, he's quite a difficult guy to, he's quite shy, he's quite quiet, he's quite a difficult nut to crack. Completely opened up. Suddenly I said, right, and I do this bit of the podcast and I talk about what kind of things you like to do or, you know, in your spare time. And he said, I collect vinyls. And I went, do you? I said, records. And he went, yeah, they're just here. And he got up, he got his vinyls. Obviously we were doing Zoom and a podcast. It was brilliant. And he got his collect, he went, Stone Roses, he's Lancashire, that's a pretty good Lancashire accent. Stone Roses, Inspiral Carpets, David Bowie. And I'm like, this is so brilliant, isn't it? And that's what I wanted to know. And he started to open up and he just talked. And it was lovely. And so, yes, it's that, yeah, you aren't just taking a wicket. You're not just scoring a goal or whatever. I want to know about you. And that's what I'm doing.
Well, if you ever want to know about my sporting prowess on your podcast,
I'd love to get
just
to know
ask anytime.
Say, with that said, then, so who is the holy grail then for you? Who would be the nut you'd like to crack on your podcast? Who is it?
I would love. I have worked with him a couple of times. It was years ago, and I've not seen him for years. It's Lewis Hamilton. I think he'd be fascinating because he is a fascinating character in the fact that he is hugely successful. I mean, you know, hugely successful. He's an interesting character. He's got quite a strong mindset regards, obviously when he's driving, but out of the car, he's, you know, he's got his views. And I want to know more about him. He's at the top of his game and has been for years now. I mean, we're talking, you know, you wouldn't believe it. He's mid-30s, but you still think he's like early 20s. He's one of those. Lewis Hamilton, I think, would be a good one. I'd like to know, because, you know, he's obviously been winning the championship every year, you know, and I want to know what more does he want to do? What can he do? Where do you go then? You know, when you've done it all, where do you go?
And well, I think he wants to do your podcast. That's his holy grail. Yeah,
I would say that is probably what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Now, that's the only thing he's got to tick off. So, yes, Lewis Hamilton.
And I think as well, because of what's gone on this year and the fact that he's putting his head above the parapet with Black Lives Matter, I think, which is actually quite rare in the sporting world with his commercial deals in place, I think, you know, he's in a very, you know, he's doing really amazing things. I think he'd be a great chef. But you are right. It's so funny. You always think of Lewis Hamilton being like 14 years old, don't you? You still think.
He looks so incredibly young still.
My dog's gone nuts.
I've got a dog too. I love it. And my dog's growling.
That's got Bella's attention. Yeah.
Is someone at the door?
Sorry.
mine's growling as well.
This now becomes a regular thing, Joe. I feel like every time we do a Zoom recording,
that made Bella wake up. Yeah.
It's brilliant, though. I love it. Oh, my gosh, that's funny. What dog have you got, James?
I think it's a Mr. Porter delivery, actually.
Oh, dog have you got, Joe? Never.
It was his birthday yesterday. He turned two. He's Bingley. He's a Border Terrier.
Oh, gorgeous. And a Mr. Porter. That's more, that's wonderful. How exciting. I know, but, I think I've been at the door, but anyway.
Yeah. But anyway, so obviously, Kirsty, your podcast is available wherever people listen to Is It Just Me? So go check it out. It's Strip Back Sport.
And it's thank you very much.
3 and 4. And how many episodes are you going to, is it like a series, or are you going to keep doing it ad hoc? How are you going to approach it?
We're doing a run of as many as I can do, and we'll see where we go from there. It's brand new, very exciting. Still got loads to record and loads. So I'm basically recording. I've got a number in the bag, so to speak, and they're just only just going out now. The third one went out today. Jermaine Genus, who is obviously the footballer turned brilliant pundit and TV broadcaster and a lovely man.
Yes.
Now, Joe, was that a genuine nod of actually you knew who he was? Or you
yes, like, yes, it was. Oh. Yes.
Do you approve of him?
I'm the worst. Yeah. Anyway,
Let's get on to more.
Look safe him up home. After.
Let's get on to things that I know about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Come on then. Yeah. Go on. Yeah.
Is it just me who, when you know, when there was talk, obviously, of the pubs closing and the curfew of 10 p.m., I genuinely was slightly delighted, because I just feel like, well, to be honest, with the exception of the odd maybe Saturday night, I'm always in bed by 10 o'clock anyway.
Me in too. That week.
So it's justified my sort of grandpa-ishness now to be like, you know, I just feel like, oh, can't do it, sorry.
I think, yeah, I felt not so much delighted, a bit nonplussed. A bit like, oh well, doesn't make any difference to me. I mean, I'm literally in bed at, if I'm not in bed by 9, it's very strange.
And wow, really?
Yeah, I'm very boring, Jo.
I think when you've got kids in the house, I think that's an incredible achievement, because a few years ago, we got to the age where my daughter was not getting tired at the same time. And so I was like, well, I need to stay up because I can't go to bed before my child. But now I often do.
It's probably, I mean, I've got a 10-year, he's little still, he's 10, Jude. And I want him in bed before 9.
Yes.
Oscar's now weekly boarding. But if Oscar's at home, you know, obviously at weekends and holidays and stuff, then yes, it is. Well, he can stay up in his room for a bit, but I go to bed and I want Jude in bed, but probably selfishly for me.
But have you been out since? I've been out since the curfew came into effect in London.
No.
And as predicted, the thing that really annoys me about it is now everybody's trying to get home at the same time, and that can't be. Yeah, I mean, so that is super annoying. And I'm doing it again tomorrow night. So I don't know, maybe I think it will just, it will deter people from going out altogether.
Well, they hope.
I don't know. I'm becoming one of those people who is much more afraid of what it's doing to the economy. And I don't like, but people have got this false binary where, oh, so you care about money more than lives. Well, Hans, if we don't keep the economy going, that's lives. So, you know, that's where I'm, sorry, I got very, very serious very quickly.
It's not just the economy. I feel sad for people who haven't got anybody, or it's mental health issues, or it's, you know, domestic violence, abuse.
Yes.
I just think, you know what? A lot of people can't cope with this situation, and it makes me very, very sad. And I can feel myself getting welling up already just thinking about what's going on in a lot of people's lives, you know? Because not everyone's as lucky as we are, and we're very lucky. And I just feel that, yes, the economy, I agree, but it's also the fact that we, you know, it's like, you know, recently I did something for the Department of Education, which was getting kids back to school. And for me, that is very important, as you know, Jo. Not only is it good that they have routine and structure to their lives, a lot of kids maybe don't have a nice life at home. They don't eat enough at home. They rely on their school meals. They rely on interaction. They maybe talk to that teacher because that teacher, it gives them what they don't get at home, you know, like, you know, some, you know, emotional support or whatever. And it makes me really sad. And that's why I felt it was really important to get involved in that, in that sort of getting kids back into school. You know, whatever is happening, they need to go back. We need to keep our kids. They need to be, we have to keep their lives normal as we can. We have to deal with this. It's horrible in our lifetime. We've never seen this. Hopefully we'll never see it again. I didn't want this for my children, you know.
Isn't it awful?
I didn't expect this. Did you?
No, of course not. But it's, I don't know. I just think that I've never known anything that just consumes every conversation and every thought as well in this way. It's so hard, isn't it? And I mean, you know, I haven't had the worst of it. I've got my health. I've, you know, and all of those things, and my family, touch wood, is healthy, but it's still, it's so stressful.
I think
very stressful.
Me though, I do think, I mean, all jokes aside about the curfew side of thing, I think what's happened for me, I genuinely feel this year my life has shrunk in terms of not being able to go out and enjoy ourselves as much, but actually in a very weird sort of simple way, in the sense that, you know, I'm seeing people, but I'm pretty much seeing the same core group.
I agree.
You know, it's made life in a weird way. If you just accept it, this is just how it has to be. I think it's, I was talking to somebody earlier about, you know, I saw somebody on TV the other day, and I think at the moment, I think when this first hit us, I think all of our gut instincts was to be positive and to try and keep things going. And, you know, so we kept booking holidays. We kept saying, oh no, we'll make plans to see each other next month. And this woman came on TV and said, people need to actually stop doing that, because what you're essentially doing is, it's like writing a to-do list that you never get over, you never get through. It's just a reminder of all the things you've not been able to do. And what's really important, I think, now to just take each day as it comes and just live in a very, you know, here and now moment, rather than look down the path too far, because ultimately we don't know what's going to happen from one week to the next.
Well, I think that's the scary thing, James, is I think the scariest thing for me is that thought of, we just don't know, do we? I think we all thought in the beginning, like you said, it was a bit like, oh, well, we're in lockdown a few months, then we'll be fine. And now it's like, right, so now they're talking about Christmas lockdown.
Yeah.
I mean, and we're looking at our sort of 2021, which we thought would be fabulous, and phew, it's not the case, really. It's the fact that this is going to be around for some time, isn't it? And I think you're right. I think it's very scary when you've got children, because you are managing their expectations as well as your own, and not actually having a clue, quite frankly, what's going on. No one does. It's frightening.
I think I had to check my mindset, because I kept doing that thing. In my head, I realised I was almost viewing New Year's Eve 2020 as the finish line. I kept going, I'm over this year, 2020 can fuck off, I'm done with it.
Yeah, same.
I remember going, wait a second, January 1st, 2021 is not going to suddenly solve this problem and cure coronavirus, you know?
Yeah.
We've got to stop thinking about it like that, you know, because unfortunately you're right. And I think this last couple of weeks has been, the last week, I would say, when they've told us we're in this for at least 6 months, you could really sense, I feel, a national wow. You could really feel it. Can you, everyone really?
You know what, guys? That's why I think we should try and cheer people up with this podcast.
Yeah. So let's get off this.
Yeah. So let's move on. It's all shit. We've established that. Yeah.
But you're not alone. We're all thinking the same thing.
Just go to bed and just have another sleep.
Get into bed, watch TV, and don't go out after 10.
Drink in bed. Drink in bed. Yeah. I mean, that's where we're at now.
Do whatever you want in bed. Exactly.
Whatever you want. Yeah.
You're right. You're on my page too. Same
thing. Yeah. I mean, is it just me, Kirsty and James, when I've got a mask on, I have this weird sensation that I can't hear. Sometimes I have to take it off so I can hear you. And I think, is it just shutting down my senses in a different way? It's so strange. Yeah.
It's not just here. I feel like I can't see.
Yeah.
And I'm so loud as well. It's like, there's no chance that no one can hear me over the bloody mask. But I feel like I have to pull it away from my mouth, because I get a bit claustrophobic anyway, but I feel a bit like I'm not there. They don't think I'm there. Do you know what I mean? It's like a balaclava.
I had found one really good thing the other day, because sometimes having lived with my husband, I do now know a lot of rap and hip hop songs. His obsession.
I love it.
I've found quite a few over the years that I really like. And if I try and sort of like sing a rap along with them, my husband's like, for crying out loud, please never do that again. So I was on the street the other day with my headphones on and I realized I can practice rapping, like, you know, sort of like, and no one will ever know that I'm actually trying to do these lyrics with the headphones.
You are hilarious.
So that's been an unexpected upside of the mask.
That's the plus.
This is the positive COVID spin content we were looking for, Joe. Excellent.
Oh my gosh.
I'm here for it. I'm here for you. You can mouth offensive things under your breath about annoying commuters that, you know, possibly would have got you punched in the face 6 months ago.
Yeah, so I agree.
It's but all I winning.
I do hate every element of a mask, I have to say. I'm the same as you. I feel like I can't be heard. I can't hear myself. And I also feel like my sight is slightly impaired. Not usually. Everything
I'm really shocked
seems to go.
I'm just so shocked at how inconvenient they feel. You know, when it was like, you got to wear a mask, I was like, okay. And the first time you put one on, like, oh, this is surprisingly uncomfortable.
I always feel like a real idiot with one on too. They're like literally the unsexiest, not that I'm trying to be sexy, but I mean, literally the unsexiest, most unattractive things, aren't they?
I've got these linen reusable ones and I look like, you know, have you ever been to the Tower of London, not Tower of London, the London Dungeon? I look like those people who used to come out for the dead in the plague.
Oh my God.
The big beak mask.
Like a gimp mask.
Yeah.
But the other thing I hate is that you can't tell, say you go to a restaurant, well, not for long, or wherever, you can't tell anyone's expression that you don't know. You don't know their eyes. You don't, it's like you're not, you know, I haven't got a clue if you're smiling, if you're laughing, if you're being funny,
well,
if you're
it's playing having my crow's feet because I'm really over-exaggerating every facial muscle so that people know I'm smiling at them. Like, you know,
gosh.
I blanked someone in the supermarket the other day. One of my friends, I didn't recognise him. It's so weird.
You blanked them? How?
He was doing that kind of maniacal like staring over his mask. And I was going, who is this weirdo? I was like,
hi. Oh, that is priceless.
It's
oh my
great
God,
at work when I don't want to say hello to people because I can just pretend, oh, I didn't recognise you.
Yeah, I've done that quite a lot as well. It does drive me insane, actually.
But again, putting the positive spin on it, have you now got like a whole cavalcade of like mask choices, like lots of different patterns and, you know?
Yeah.
I was going to say, Kirsty, for you, actually, you'd love this mask. Have you seen the one?
Stripey one?
No, it just says fuck COVID on it. I think you should get
Well, no, that would be that, wonderful.
That could be contagious. I don't know if I would do that.
I'm not that bothered about the mask. Funny enough, I love fashion. I love clothes. And there are people who I'm sure are really getting into the mask thing. Like they're like, yeah, I've got range and I've got to get the newest one. Couldn't give a monkey's. I'm like,
no.
The sooner we're done with these, the better. And what but I really
sadly,
hate, I hate
sorry.
The disposable ones. Sorry, Joe. I hate them.
No, well, what I hate the disposable
bag,
ones,
isn't it?
But they are the least uncomfortable ones to wear, I've found.
But they're bad for the environment.
I know. Sometimes I get forced to wear one and you think, oh, I can actually breathe in this one.
Really? So, no, I have to have a material one because I get really upset with these blue disposable ones, which I think are just horrendous for the environment. It's the next terrible thing, I think. I mean, I saw one, literally, two actually, flying around in the field opposite my house the other day. I was like, that just says it all, doesn't it? It's awful.
Yep.
Sign of the times, but literally it's litter now and it's rubbish and they're not biodegradable and I get a little bit uptight about it. So all of mine are material and washable and then I'll chuck them away.
You went full tilt Monica again then.
I'm doing another Monica. I'm becoming Monica. I mean, I am evolving into her. Yeah. That scares me. I might have to watch that in bed before 10 tonight. Yeah. Just to refresh.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is it just me who misses a good old-fashioned phone call?
I mean, I didn't know if you were going to pick the, I gave the option of phone call or fancy dress. Stupid murder mysteries and things.
Oh, do you hate fancy? Do you hate fancy dress, Kirsty?
Let's talk about fancy dress. Why do you hate fancy dress?
Hate. Give me
you and my husband.
I'm like, I'm not coming.
Yeah, he gets so angry when people try and enforce a fancy dress.
Your husband?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate it.
I'm angry with him for being a buzzkill.
I mean, call me boring, but fancy dress, hate. Gimmicky things, murder mystery, hate. New Year's parties, I start quivering because I think, what do I have to do? Do I have to do anything? No.
So have you never participated in a fancy dress party?
Never.
Never.
I have will my ex-husband, sorry, the dog's now drinking water with its check.
That's all right.
Betsy, please give us a break. I mean, Gordon Bennett. She's drinking, sounds like a cowbell, but it's not.
That's all right.
My ex-husband loved fancy dress. And
is this why it didn't work out?
Yeah. Possibly why, that could have been one of the reasons.
That was the deal breaker. Yeah.
That was it. That did it for him and me.
Yeah.
He would love nothing more than a fancy dress party and would be like, yeah, brilliant. And I think it's a certain sort of person. Do you think it's a certain type of person that likes fancy? How do you both feel about fancy dress? I it makes me feel a bit nauseous.
Do you feel like embarrassed? Because I just fully get into it. I like to try and be, it's very rare that people do them, but I like to try and be the biggest dickhead there. But just think that that's like, I don't know, I really get into it. Yeah.
Why? Just to make people laugh though?
Yeah.
Make yourself laugh?
Yeah.
I just can't be bothered with it. Sorry, James.
It is an effort, yeah.
I'm a halfway, I think, because I'm a bit like you, Kirsty. The idea initially, when somebody says to me, oh, the theme for the party is this, a bit of me feels like it's dying inside. And then the stressful bit is thinking up the costume. And then once...
Horrific.
But once I've decided what I'm going as and I commit, I fully commit.
Do you?
Yeah, I kind of end up loving it. But I do... My gut reaction initially is always what you feel. And... I'm so impressed you managed to get to this point and you've never done it. It's
horrendous. My last memory of fancy dress was going, well, there are two memories, and actually this is all right because I'm sorry, but I love her music. I loved both of them. Well, I love her music and I love Madonna. I went as Madonna when I was about to a party when I was about 10. And I went
Madonna?
Whitney Houston. Another time, didn't look anything like it, but thought I was Whitney Houston. And that was fine, and that was it. And that's the last time I remember Whitney and Madonna, and it was under 12.
So what did you wear as Madonna?
A white shirt and sort of punk hair and a beauty spot. yeah, not great. I mean, obviously, I mean, I'm thinking my mum's got the photo, which is priceless. The when she used to do the little beauty spot and the lip liner thing and a white shirt and maybe a leather skirt. Was that what she wore?
Yeah, very good. There you go.
You know, all those songs.
A friend of mine was called Sue, had a 40th birthday party and wanted us all to go dressed as something starting with S. And I went as Slutty Sandy from Greece.
Oh, wonderful.
I had a white curly wig, loads of lipstick, sprayed on leggings. And I, honest to God, I looked like Lily Savage.
Oh my God. But,
I was going for Sandy and I got Lily Savage. But
fantastic.
And I thought I looked pretty ridiculous. But then someone turned up as a Smurf, like completely covered in blue paint.
And you were like, damn, I want to be a Smurf.
I know, but it was so brilliant. She just didn't care. It was so good. Yeah.
That's so brilliant.
I've got to say the Halloween costumes that really get on my nerves are the ones where it's just an excuse for that person to show off how fit and sexy they are. You know,
yeah. When they start to do all the
You know, when it's basically an excuse for some guy to turn up with his top off, or for a girl just to wear
sexy nurse. Yeah,
yes.
You know, it's like no, Halloween is supposed to be all about gross things. It's
not. Yes. Yeah. No, I'm not. I must say, not into all that. I love dressing my kids up. Halloween wise or whatever, Christmas ish well, I used to, but no, not loving fancy dress.
See, I can't, you're so outgoing, I can't imagine you feeling embarrassed by stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
Am I outgoing? I'm not really. Yeah,
you're on bloody television.
Well, I don't mean you're outgoing. Oh god, now I'm gonna look at myself, Monica. It's a bit like the mask thing, though. I feel really embarrassed about wearing... I get quite embarrassed. I get a bit cringed about things. I do my job, and it's a different person, I think. I don't know, but this is another conversation. I do my job, but I come from, like, a journalistic background, so I see it as I'm doing a job because I want to find out more, and I want to portray, you know, get this across to people, viewers, whatever, listeners. I'm not really into showiness. I'm not a showy person.
Yeah.
I know. Well,
at all.
So if I had a party and said, I'm only inviting my nearest and dearest friends, and Kirsty, I really want you to be there, but you have to come dressed as your favorite Madonna era, what would happen? Would you just like have a sudden pressing engagement?
It would be lame. Very lame. Normal outfit for a Saturday night.
When we had to go to the come dressed as something starting with S, my husband went as self and just...
Yes, well, there we are. Completely with him.
What a buzzkill.
That is brilliant in every way. And I'd probably find a way to do exactly that and think about how I could just, exactly, the same. I just can't be bothered. I'm just like, not. And also, when you get to that party and you've got some sort of stupid costume on, then what? It's just stupid.
Well, it is rather embarrassing in the Uber there and back,
But when you get there, though, you're talking to someone, you've got a glass of whatever, drink, and you're whatever, then what? That's it. And it's just like, there is no end. There's no conclusion to this. There is no reason you're dressed as a penis and you're talking to someone who's dressed as a smurf.
There's never a bad reason to dress as a penis, Kirsty.
No, well, that is absolutely right. Correct.
I found a way to make you possibly like fancy dress.
Turn
into a sport. And do what I do. I love going to a fancy dress party and then watching which costumes fall apart the quickest.
You know what? Really?
Everyone turns up looking immaculate.
Yeah, that's true.
And across like Maria and like the Joker. And then as the drinks flow and they're getting off with people.
And then that's gone. The wig's gone. You've lost your hat. That is actually a very good point. Why also I find it pointless. It's just no one ends. It doesn't end well at all, does it? Never ends well. But no, I hate gimmicky nights out. It's just straightforward. Are you coming out? Yeah, I will. See you there. Dinner, drinks, whatever. Don't do anything stupid in between. Don't make me bloody dress up or...
Gosh, she's so strict.
I don't think I'm boring, though, but I think I'm boring.
No, but also the evening must end by 9 p.m.
That's perfect. Let's start early. Nothing better than a late lunch.
No, but I think, Kirsty, I'm a bit with you on this one. I think I'm similar in the sense that I don't like forced fun, controlled forced fun, which is
right.
A game or it's a gimmick or, you know, you've got to do something like all this kind of, because I think I'm a quite outgoing, chatty person. I don't need these weird icebreakers to make me talk to people. I'd rather just talk to them.
Do you think that possibly, because I'm now thinking about this and looking into it and getting a bit deep, possibly insecure people or so, yes, I'm just trying to think of, yeah, my ex-husband loved fancy dress and he's quite shy.
And it's like, so it's permission to be somebody else.
Yes. Is it people possibly who want to have that, I want a different persona and I want to be, which isn't, there's nothing wrong with that actually. And when I think about it, it's quite nice. But I just don't want to do it myself.
That's true, though, because some of my friends who I'd say are the quieter, shyer types, they love fancy dress. And I think it's that element of almost putting on armour and going
out. A cloak,
out.
Yeah. Just
being a different person and, yeah. I still don't like it.
I just like being a dickhead. So, and you know, I'm not insecure. I don't know. I just think it's funny. Yeah.
I like twerping around. You know, I like being an idiot too, but... I just don't feel like I need to dress like one. I think I'm already
If I make it to my 51st birthday, I might have a fancy dress party. And then I'll find out who my real friends are. Yeah.
Just make sure it begins with S.
Yeah.
Can I say, Kirsty, are you scared of clowns?
No, I'm not scared of clowns. No. No, I'm not scared. My son is, my little one, he's really scared of clowns. But that's YouTube stuff, isn't it? No, I'm not scared of clowns. No, you're right.
That's just YouTube stuff.
I'm not scared of anything really that dresses up. I just don't like it. boring bloody
monocle. Don't like it. Yeah.
That's the line on the podcast here. Bloody boring Monica.
I think it's just me who likes fancy dress, isn't it?
No, I do like it. It's just that I have to be in the frame of mind for it. I get stressed out by it, and then actually the stress of it makes me not want to go. But then once I'm there, I'm involved, you know. But
listen, there ain't no fancy dress soon anyway, so let's just. I mean, sadly, we might as well just forget it. Oh my god!
Another plus side to the global pandemic: no fancy dress parties.
No fancy dress except that the mask.
We like to end on a positive.
We sort of done that. Yeah.
I took us onto a different path. I do love the old traditional phone calls as well, by the way.
I know.
And John knows what I'm like about.
You're one of
I'm
my
a voice
few,
noter, aren't I?
You're one of my few messages and texts who you love a voice note.
I
really love your voice notes. But I'm really embarrassed to leave voice notes. That's where my self-consciousness comes in.
Me too.
Why?
I don't know.
I feel really embarrassed by leaving voice notes. So I thought it was just me. Oh, James.
No. You feel embarrassed?
Yeah.
James, why?
Yes. I don't know. I just feel like a bit of a dickhead. I'm not quite sure how it works. And then, I don't know. I think it's because I hate my voice. So
I hate my voice, but I don't care. I don't like texting. It's too difficult. As in...
Well, I love
I'm
your voice.
I'm a bit of a one-thumb person. I'm a bit of a... prodder on the keyboard.
But it's so sweet when you get a note from Kirsty. It's just like Kirsty, you'll just phone you like, there's a tree, and then anyway, what was I talking about? Oh yeah, and it's so sweet and I love it.
I left one for James who's on the left. I left one for James who's listening now. Not you, James, but my other James.
There's another James
and,
here.
And yeah. I left him a voice note, my friend James, and I literally was leaving a voice note, working one, and then I looked at the end of my garden and went, oh, there's a deer. Oh, there's not one, there's one, two, three deer. And then I was talking about the deer, forgetting I'm leaving a voice note, talking about work. I mean, just honestly, he was just like, what on earth? Must have been a very funny voice note. I do get sidetracked because I'm looking around, leaving it in a lovely little, you know, thinking that I'm talking to someone, and then I realise you look at the time and it's like 2 minutes and you're like, oh my God, that's horrendous.
But it's so nice. Yeah. Well, leave me voice notes anytime. And hopefully one day we can have a curfew friendly
little dress party.
Wine spritzer. Yeah. And you have to come dressed as a Smurf. Yeah.
Madonna. Smurf / Madonna.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, Madonna's Smurf era. A well-known Smurf.
We've got a lot of ammunition when we see Elizabeth, lovely Elizabeth Day now.
Oh, I know.
The three of us. Brilliant. Love it.
Oh. Thank you so much for joining us, Kirsty.
Thank you so much for having me. What a laugh. I feel like, well, we're just having a lovely chat, aren't we? So and, we went a bit on a tangent about fancy dress, sorry. No, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. You are brilliant. That was such fun.
Oh,
let's do another one.
You are brilliant. Topics. Anytime, anytime. And if you ever want me to come on and talk about my sporting prowess, just let me know.
I'd love you to.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, I love it. Oh, yeah. Thanks so much, guys.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.